I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Episode 320.
Well, you know how I like to talk about unexplained things and weird things? Well, something that's weird is that when you're listening to this, I'm back from my cruise, but while I'm recording this, haven't even been.
Donna, the time traveler.
I would not want to go back in time. Oh my gosh. Could you imagine? Like, just thinking about all the things I didn't have, like deodorant and
anesthesia.
That.
Air conditioner, tampons, birth control.
All the things.
Those are really kind of my top five.
Yeah, air conditioning is a big one. I mean, hopefully if I was only there for like a day, I wouldn't need the anesthesia. You, on the other hand, probably would.
Yeah. I'd cut myself churning butter or some shit. Get like a splinter, like a bad one. Like it get my eye.
Oh, God.
I wouldn't be able to go back because I wouldn't be able to not do something. Like send myself a letter that's like, invest in this.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking about time, I've wasted a lot of fucking time listening to the new Taylor Swift album.
Is it everything you wanted it to be?
Everything.
Do you really think that song's about Kim?
I don't know. Okay, so here's the thing. I thought it really was, but then people were like, what about Karlie Kloss? And I was like, so I went in a deep rabbit hole of TikTok because they used to be really good friends and now they're not.
Yeah.
And so it was like, why would she have like did the capital letters again if it was like, I don't know, they were just like going on about, you know, the conspiracy of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And like, because it's like either she's doing that to throw you off.
Yes.
Or to like be blatantly obvious about it, you know? So it's like, I don't know, it could fit anything. But also, I did hear The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, that song. They had said that was about Mattie Healy. But then someone on TikTok said that it's actually about the guy who runs Big Machine Records, I can't think of his fucking name now, but, and all of that. And I was like, that makes sense too. I don't know. But I'll tell you, I've been playing, let's see, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. That is my favorite song. And I feel so seen. One lyric is, I cry a lot, but I'm productive. It's an art. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, you just got to cry through it. But then The Prophecy, because also that's just kind of like, when is it going to be my turn? Like, will I ever be the one picked? Will I ever have my happy ending? Like, can we rewrite this prophecy then?
Mm-hmm.
Feel that. And then Down Bad, and then Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? Those are my jams. So, yeah, I'm loving the new album.
Well, you said TikTok about 14 times. And what are we going to do if this bill is, like, for real, and they really did ban? I mean, like, they did. They voted. Like, Biden signed it. I mean, I don't know shit about shit. But this is what I think. Not to be political.
Okay, well, you didn't even let me say what I was going to say.
Oh, say what you want to say. And let the words fall out.
Oh, gosh.
Honestly. I want to see you be brave.
That was actually good, and I can't believe you actually knew the correct words. Like, honestly. But we just watch reels.
Yeah, that's true. But you can't fast forward those.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
But anyway, okay, this is my take on politics. You should not be able to lump things together. Like, a TikTok ban should not be on the same bill as, like, Ukraine aid.
Yeah.
Like, that, to me, should be two different. Like, you should be like, we're going to focus on TikTok. The next bill is this. Because people have to.
It's like they lump it together because.
You're going to pass it because you need the, like, I don't know shit about shit about all the shit going on.
Okay, but we need merch that says, I don't know shit about shit. Can someone remind us of that?
But what I'm saying is, like, you can't tug on somebody's, like, heartstrings with half of the bill. And they have to sign it to get that in, but you slip this thing in. I don't like that. That's one thing I hate about our politics.
Yeah.
But I would get a lot of time in my life.
I know, but I wouldn't see. Yeah. I mean, we have Facebook and we have
Insta. But you can't fast forward those. Or if you can, tell me because I got to know how. Y'all know I got to watch things sped up.
She does. And like, I'll have something sentimental and I'm like, oh, watch this. And she does. I'm like, you have to hear the cadence. You have to feel it.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do. That's why I'm an emotional person and you're a factual person. Like, you just want to know, okay, cool. This happened. That happened. Done.
And Donna wants to hear a fucking. But Donna wants to fucking hear Sarah McLachlan playing In the Arms of an Angel.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, I'm not trying to cry.
Well, but that's it. Like, it's like, I just want to give them their time and know that, like, the dog's favorite. Of course, it's a dog that we're talking about. But the dog's favorite toy and all of that. Oh, BTW, Callie, my amazing friend and coworker, she gave me a really good tip. She was like, where did you buy your dog toys at? And I was like, I mean, different places, you know, whatever. Yeah. And she was like, the next time you like have an animal or whatever and you need to buy toys, go to Goodwill.
Hmm.
And she was like, because they're there and they're like a dollar.
That's good.
Because like her dog, Winnie, is like Marley. They love to tear up the
stuffing ones.
And so it's like a dollar.
Yeah.
And there you go. It's fine.
Well, I was going to say, though, for bullies, you have to get harder toys.
Right.
You know, so you have to be a little more selective.
Exactly. But like for mine, and it was so funny because I was like, yeah, Marley just loved to make it snow. And she like put the camera down and Winnie's just like covered in like the fluff. Like, oh.
Bo liked the softer toys, but he also liked to chew blankets. You know, I did see a TikTok, though, about it. Apparently that is a bully thing, like a bulldog thing. But anyway, Jax likes ropes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I thought about this and I forgot to. Well, I'm glad I didn't mention it now. But OK, so I was going out the other night when we were recording and I opened your garage door, right? Mm-hmm. And used to, I would have to look up and hope that no lizards would jump down because they used to be all over.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, Jax has really got my back on those. He do be the lizard hunter.
Yeah, they're like, go nowhere near that property. Because yes. He hunts them in the backyard. Like, it's crazy that it's affecting the garage.
Yes. Like, they're not there anymore. And it used to be so bad, y'all. Like, I'd be like having to wait and like look and just see. Because, you know, I will hurt myself if one got on me.
Well, now, could we have this thing? I don't even know what you'd call that. I keep wanting to call it a pavilion, but it's not. What's that thing called that's, like, attached that they had built?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that.
It's just, like, this wooden shelter thing.
It's like a lean-to, but...
Yeah, kind of, yeah. But it's, like, where the grill is, you know, blah, blah, blah. Jax has been digging the fuck under there. And he sticks his long ass legs under it and then like pulls it. And like his face is like smushed against the wood. And he's got his arms stretched as far as they'll stretch, like trying to dig. And you're like, Jax. And he just like looks at you like, what'd I do?
Yeah. He does have the longest limbs for a bulldog.
For a bulldog, he really does. You want to see Colby go from 0 to 100 in 0.2 seconds. Say something about somebody's weight.
Oh, my God. I literally thought you were still going to talk about Jax.
I am.
Oh, okay. But I was like, no, it's weight. Like, yes. Especially you. Like, if someone says something about you, like, he will fucking rage.
Well, it's about Jax, too. So when we went to our cabin, like, whatever, lake thing, we took Jax to the vet to board him. God. Colby goes... He's standing there with him, and this lady, she looked at Jax and was like, oh, somebody could stand to lose a little weight. And Colby goes, somebody could use a makeover.
No.
She said, well, I was talking about your dog. He said, I know. He said that the worker was like, I was like, you did not say that. And he's like, yes, don't talk about my dog.
Oh, God. I wish he would have been like, when she said, I was talking about your dog, I've been like, yeah, why would you be talking about me then?
Yes. He was just like, I know. Oh, I said, what'd she say? And he was like, nothing. She just stood there.
Yeah, why would you say that,
though? I don't know. Look, my mom's across the street neighbor, when her bulldog that she had before this one, Bruiser, was still alive, that neighbor said that Bruiser was ugly. And mom is still, Bruiser's been dead like 10 years, and she's still pissed about that.
Yes, because why would you say that?
Keep your opinions to yourself. And he's not, he's a fucking bulldog. He looks like a bulldog, you know? But yeah, you want to, like I said, you want to see Colby mad, say something about somebody's weight. And he don't care who it is. It could be the damn CEO of a company that he works for, and he's going to say some shit to put him in their place. All right, before we get into my story, we got to talk about Factor. Y'all know how much we love these dang meals. They are so good. Factor is delicious, ready-to-eat meals that's always fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in 2 minutes.
I also am ready to go in 2 minutes.
There are over 35 different options that you could choose from every single week. And you can pick what types of meals you want. Do you want calorie smart? Do you want protein plus? Do you want keto? And there's over 60 add-ons that help you stay fueled all day long.
And seriously, Factor's meals are restaurant quality. You know I'm a picky eater, and I haven't had one meal that I haven't liked.
Y'all have heard me say that my boss gets Factor meals too. And I think the first 2 weeks that he ate them for lunch every day, he would say every single day, "This is better than any restaurant I've ever had." And now we have to be like, "What Factor meal do you bring?" Because now we got to know who's is who in the freaking refrigerator. There's too many Factor meals. But I love it because it's so flexible. Like, you can get as much as you want every week. You can pause. You can reschedule. But for me, because every other week, I only get 30-minute lunches so I can leave early on Friday and take a nap like I did today. But on those weeks, having a meal that's ready in 2 minutes instead of going to our cafeteria, waiting in line, doing all the things, I get to actually enjoy my lunch break.
And there's no prep, no mess. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat.
Look, Factor has done the math because they know we can't. And Factor is less expensive than takeout. And every meal, like I said, is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Because y'all know how, like, when you get meals like this, like, it comes with vegetables and usually you don't eat the vegetables because they're not very good. They're, like, clearly frozen and just not good. I'm telling you, with the Factor meals so far, the vegetables have been some of my favorite parts.
Right. Yes. The flavor's great. The texture is good.
Like, it truly is good meals. And right now, you can get in on this action that we are raving about. Head to factormeals.com/creep50 and use the promo code creep50, like creep50, to get 50% off.
That's code creep50 at factormeals.com/creep50 to get 50% off.
You will not be disappointed in these meals. They are so dang good. Head on over to factormeals.com/creep50 and use code creep50 to get 50% off. Okay, so for my story this week, we are talking about Andrew Gosden. Now, there was a really great article on Vice.com by James McMahon that had such a good breakdown of it. And of course, I use other things, but you know, I guess to give props where props is due. So Andrew was born on July 10th, 1993. He lived in Balby, Doncaster, which is like a suburb of South Yorkshire. So we're across the freaking pond, which is, y'all know, my favorite place.
What's funny is when we were talking about going back in time, I was picturing going back in time like in England and stuff. So, yeah.
So at the time of this story, Andrew is 14 years old and he is so smart. Andrew has never missed a day of school. He is part of like the gifted and talented program and just all around a great kid.
How has he never missed a day of school?
He clearly doesn't have immune issues because,
right?
Look, when I was a kid, every single year, I would either get the flu or strep throat and miss a week of school.
Yeah. Well, and even just like not even immune issues, he ain't got no tummy issues.
When people say they've never gotten strep throat in their life, I'm like, I've gotten it every year of my life. How
right?
the fuck?
Right?
Like literally every year of my goddamn life.
I know. Yes, he's very smart. But my thing is, how?
No, I know. Well, and you know, now people are saying there's kind of a push to get away from, like, remember when we were in
middle school?
You would get, they called them all right cards.
That was if you were good.
Oh, okay, which is weird. You're all right.
I know.
Anyway, but you would get attendance cards and then like based on your grades too. And then at the end of every, was it 9 weeks or semester?
I think 9 weeks.
You could like go on to the skating rink and the bowling alley for free. But now I think the push is that people are like, don't give people extra for like not ever missing a day of school because it promotes people to never miss work later in life and to feel guilty about it when they really are sick. So, like, I could see both sides of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you don't want people just calling out just for shits and giggles. So you want to teach them to respect what their job is, but also you don't want people coming to work sick. So I'm kind of on the fence of that.
Well, because if you think about it, if someone, I mean, the all right cards, like, you should be a good human, so you should have that. You shouldn't have any issues. Yeah. But, like, some people aren't great with grades, like, you know, yeah. So that wouldn't be what they could get. But the attendance, they could get then, you know, and yeah. They might push themselves. So I see where that would be bad. But I will also say, being a product of that, that's me.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't feel good at work yesterday. And my company is like, hey, if you don't feel good, go home, do this. And I'm like, no, that'll leave people, you know, like, yeah. Unless I am really sick where I can't do my job.
Yes.
You know? But I was like, it's just my stomach. It's okay. You know, and I work from home. So there's that too.
Like, well, but I was about to say, but I think people get even more pressure working from home because it's like, well, you're home.
Yeah. I mean, luckily I have a great company that is like, no, if you're sick, take the time off.
Yes.
But it's ingrained in me that mm-hmm. I'm like, and I do that to other people. I'm like, oh no, you don't feel good. Take it off. Rest. And then I'm like, I mean, I'm good. Okay. Tangent time over.
Right. Well, and by all accounts, it seems like Andrew really had great parents. They were in the church, but they were like, you know what? Because Andrew had a sister too named Charlotte, and they were like, no pressure. Like, if you want to come to church with us, wonderful. If you don't, that's okay too. Like, they didn't even get them baptized as kids because they were like, we want you to make your own decisions about religion and your beliefs.
When was this?
He was born in 1993.
Okay. Dang.
I know. And on September 13th of 2007, Andrew and his father had a great night. Andrew and him, well, his dad's name's Kevin. They did the puzzle together. They did the dishes together. Little hug and I love you. You know, it seems like, again, they had a really good family life. But on Friday the 14th of September, things changed. Andrew, like I said, having never missed a day of school, he's a very easy kid to wake up, get dressed, yada, yada, yada. But on this day, Andrew had a hard time getting up for school. He was late. He was irritable. And that just wasn't like him because he was the type that was like up and at him. And it seems like he wasn't irritable, angsty, teenagery to his parents, even though he was 14. But he got up, left the house at 8:05 to go to school. So his parents go to work, do their thing. When they come home after work, the dad starts to do cooking. They have the vicar from down the street over for dinner. And when it's ready, they call out for Andrew to come down to dinner. Because he's usually like in his bedroom, playing video games, something like that. And he doesn't come. So they're like, wait, where the hell's Andrew? So they go up to look in his bedroom and Andrew isn't there. So they're like, okay, really, where the fuck is Andrew? They start everything you think that you would start as a parent, looking, calling friends, calling the school, calling all the places. And they find out that Andrew never went to school.
Did they not call the house or the parents or?
Okay, we'll get there.
Okay.
But they do see that it appears like he had come home from school because he did what he would always do. He took his uniform off, put it in the laundry, had his blazer of his uniform and his tie on the back of his chair. Like, it looked like he literally, you know, went to school, came home, and maybe left. But they did notice that his keys, his wallet, and his portable PlayStation little console was all gone. So flash forward to the stuff that they start figuring out. Through some footage around their house, they found out that, yeah, he left the house at 8:05. But instead of getting on the school bus, he actually went to a park right by the house. And he waited. He waited until his parents left for work. And then he went back home, took all of his school clothes off, changed into like jeans and a Slipknot t-shirt because that was his favorite band. And he did. He took his wallet, keys, his PlayStation console, well, the portable one. But he didn't get the charger for his little portable PlayStation. So that's, remember that. He put them all in his little like messenger bag. He was like really into metal. And so like it had all these band stickers and stuff. Yeah, it was. Yeah. He was exactly how I was at 14. Well, I pretended to be. I really wanted to be, but I wasn't. I really wasn't cool, but I really tried. And at 8:30, they see he's walking towards the train station. Andrew had a bank account. And inside the bank account, he had 200 pounds. And that day, he took out 200 pounds. And so they were like, oh, well, that's probably just because, you know, like how my bank, it only lets you pull out in increments of 20.
Yeah.
You know, but it should be noted that he had over 100 pounds of birthday money in his bedroom that he left. Now, this next part I'm going to tell you, we don't find out for like almost a month. So this is a very extensive investigation. People are looking for Andrew. But for some reason, it takes the police like a month to get the CCTV footage of this. So we know that Andrew bought a one-way ticket to London. And they have a witness, and it was the person who, like the clerk who sold him the ticket. And she specifically remembers him because Andrew looked very young for his age. I think he was like 5'3", and he looked a couple of years younger than 14. And she remembered this young kid buying a train ticket to London. And she also remembers that because when she sold it to him, she was like, you know, for less than a pound extra, you can get the returning ticket. And he was like, no, I don't need it. Well, I actually don't know if he said that, but he refused it. I don't know if he said, I don't need it. Let me not put words in his mouth. He didn't want it, yeah. Period. Not he, you know, whatever. So he got on that train at 9:35 and got off in London at 11:20. Now, the train station that he was in London was King's Cross. And there's CCTV footage that shows him at 11:25 leaving the train station. But because they waited so long to get this, I don't know why. Nothing said why. It was too late to get the footage from surrounding businesses. Now, there was a witness that said that they saw a boy who looked like Andrew at a Pizza Hut on Oxford Street that day. And his parents were like, yeah, that was probably him then. I guess
they had Pizza Hut over there?
I thought the same thing. I said, damn. They do be going international. You can't out-hut the hut. Or out-pizza the hut. Whatever it is.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm just like, damn. Never knew.
But every article and podcast I listened to always pointed to the fact that apparently, didn't know this, London is like well known for their camera footage. Like, you got eyes on you. Big yeah. Brother is watching in London.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, apparently I'm the only one on the planet that didn't know this.
Well, I watch a lot of British crime shows. I had BritBox for a little bit.
Gotcha. It's really kind of fucked up in this story that we don't have more footage of Andrew from that day because waited so long, right? Because in London, they should be able to follow his every fucking move, but we don't have it. And that King's Crossing footage is the last actual footage we have of him, with the likelihood that that probably really was him at that Pizza Hut. But other than that, that was the last time anyone has ever seen Andrew. So we still, to this day, don't know where Andrew is and what happened to Andrew.
Wait, what?
But there's theories, and that's what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
His dad, Kevin, is kind of at the forefront of searching for him. His mom was too, but she's not out in the media as much as his dad is. His dad also has a blog that you can go, and he posts like probably every 6 months.
That's heartbreaking.
It really is. He posts about every 6 months, and you can kind of see, like, his dad has really struggled with depression, which, duh, and, like, self-harm and all of that since this. And I don't know, it just breaks my heart, because his dad was quoted saying, like, okay, you know that feeling when you have a kid with you and you're in a store and they disappear for a second and you turn around and they're not there and you're like, holy fucking fuck, where are they? But then you find them and it's cool. But that feeling of holy fucking fuck, where are they, is what he feels every single day, all of the time.
Gosh. Now, that is very sad, but I want to know, you said he was quoted as saying that. So did he honestly say holy fucking fuck?
No.
Okay. Just wondering.
But that was the gist of it.
Okay.
You know, I'm just really into putting words in people's mouths today.
Apparently.
But, I mean, he's British. I feel like he would say holy fucking fuck.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Everyone, like, shaking their head. No. No, he wouldn't.
Well, he would definitely drop a fuck. Okay, so back to the school issue. Remember how you asked, like, wait, so his parents weren't notified?
Yeah.
Well, they were, except the person who called them dialed the wrong number.
Oh, my Lord.
So the school did attempt to try to let the parents know that he wasn't there. But when they called, it just rang and rang and rang. And then they were like, I guess we dialed the wrong number.
Wow.
When we were in school, it was an automated message.
Yeah.
And now it's so much easier because parents have like an app and this and that. And,
right.
You know, like I said, ours was an automated message. It would be like, this is blah, 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 blah. And Kerry Easterling is not at school today.
Yeah.
So the question is, why the fuck did Andrew go to London?
Right. Yeah. Like, what happened? What changed that day?
There's so many aspects of the story where you're like, well, he wanted to run away. That's why he didn't buy the return ticket. But then it's like, well, why didn't he take his PlayStation charger? Why didn't he take all of his cash? You know, why did he just up and vanish and not leave any indication of where he was going? Because his dad is a huge proponent of getting this story out there. He's like, the more we talk about it, the more someone's going to hear something that maybe knows something, that saw something, and they may come forward.
That's the thing, too. Like, why did he leave? And if he left on his own will and, you know, just, like, wanted to run away, I don't understand how he could see his dad going through all of this and his parents going through all of this, but, like, his dad still having a blog.
Right.
And stuff, and not, like, you don't have to show where you are. Just be like,
hey, I'm okay, but I don't want any contact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and his dad seems to think that he didn't just leave, like he didn't run away, because, you know, right before Andrew went missing, when the huge story of Madeleine McCain broke, and his dad was saying how he remembers, you know, him and Andrew watching this on the news and being like, that has to be the absolute worst thing that ever happens to a parent. And Andrew being like, absolutely, like, I cannot imagine. So even it, I mean, he's 14, like he's not a kid, not an adult, but he understood how serious that was.
Yeah. I don't know. I have my own little theory now, but like he was going to meet someone.
Well, we'll get there.
Okay. Cause I'm just thinking like he took it for the day. He forgot his charger. Oh, well, but like, you know, he's going to have fun with someone else and maybe he was going to stay for a little bit and then come back. But I don't know. Something happened.
You know, like I said, he was a huge metal fan. Like, he loved bands. And there was going to be a concert there that night. So the family was like, I don't know why he wouldn't have told us, but maybe, you know, he was going to go to this concert and ride home with someone or, and then met with foul play or what have you. But let's talk a little bit about Andrew's attitude and just kind of disposition before he went missing. You remember how I told you his parents were religious, but they were like, don't have to go to church, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew had been going to church with them, but for a little over a year, maybe a year and a half, he had actually stopped going to church with them. His parents say he was probably following in his sister's footsteps a little bit more with that because she had stopped going, but it was also no big deal to them at all. So they were like, okay, he's not into it right now. No big deal. You don't have to go. So he did have something that he kind of stepped away. And Cub Scouts. So he had been in the Cub Scouts for years, but a few months before he went missing, he had stopped going to Cub Scouts. He told his parents, like, I'm just bored. Like, I don't want to go anymore. I'm just bored. He's 14. He's probably just over it, right?
Yeah.
But that is two things that he has kind of stepped back from in his life.
Yeah. Me already making a Lifetime movie about this, but I'm like, he met someone playing on the PlayStation or online because 1993, AOL.
Yeah.
And like, they were like, oh yeah, come see me and we'll go to the concert.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
But there's more to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
Kevin's, his dad, he had a lot of family in London and they went quite often. So it's not like if you dropped me off in London or let's say me off in New York, like it wouldn't be a complete, I don't know where the fuck I am.
Yeah.
But Andrew was very intellectual. He wasn't street savvy. So there's a chance that he went to see his family, but like, why? You know, but it should be noted that he did have family in London, and they did go to like museums and stuff a lot. So he wasn't completely unaware of the happenings of London.
Right. Well, and that might be why he felt safer to sneak out and go, because he knew, well, I have family close if something happens. But, you know, you can't plan for that all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, there was a 30 Seconds to Mars, like, concert that night. But they said he wasn't a huge fan of them. So, like, it wouldn't be, like, Slipknot playing that night. And he was like, I gotta fucking go. I don't care what they say. I'm going, you know?
Is that Jared Leto's or Leto's band?
Girl, I don't fucking know nothing about nothing.
Okay.
Then there was another band that was doing, like, a signing at a store. And then The Skith is another band that he was really into. And they were doing a show as well. And so they were like, well, you know, there's a chance. So what they actually did was they asked people, hey, if you were at these concerts, send us your pictures. Because they had, and you know, remember, this is over time. We still don't know where he is. So this isn't like all happening within, you know, a month of him going missing.
Right.
But they had people who were, of course, I forget exactly what they're called, but they're like expert lookers kind of thing that are really good at finding faces in crowds.
Oh, I bet they're good at Where's Waldo?
For sure. And so they got all these people's pictures to see if they could see him in the background ever. But that was a dead end. Okay, to your theory of him talking to someone, somebody groomed him and convinced him to go to London. So they had one computer in the house, and it was his sister Charlotte's, and she'd only had it for 8 weeks. So if he had been using that, it was very quick grooming, but he never used it. Mm-hmm. He didn't even have an email address set up to, like, communicate with people.
So on his PlayStation?
I'll get there.
Okay, because I'm like, that's a whole different.
I'll get there.
Okay.
So he also didn't have a cell phone or a mobile phone. He didn't have one. He had had a couple that he like broke or lost.
Who is he? You?
I don't ever lose them until I ding them on my watch and find them.
Right. I'm like, oh, okay, you would if you didn't have the recall feature.
Well, when we went to our work party, I was using the digital key on my phone and, you know, was a little buzzed. When we went up to the room before we went down to gamble, I forgot my phone in the room because I was a little buzzed. And so I had to go downstairs like to get a card and come back up. Luckily, I had my purse because then I wouldn't have had a wallet.
Yeah.
But I had, so I luckily had my purse with my wallet with my ID and just had forgot my phone. Anyway, so I guess sometimes I do. But they had offered to get him another phone for his birthday and he was like, nah, I'm good. So he didn't have a phone that he was using to communicate with people. Okay, so on to Donna's PlayStation theory, because you know, you play games with people, you get to talk in, yada, yada, yada. But he did not have an account with Sony. Like, he didn't have, like, an email address or anything attached to an account to be able to talk to people, which I thought was weird. But police did confiscate the computer. And they even took computers from, like, the libraries to see, like, had he gone and he was talking to somebody there.
Yeah.
And they did their forensic analysis and there was nothing.
The fuck?
But they did reach out to Sony and were like, no, like, it wasn't through us. So it's like, okay, well, that's, scratch that off the list.
Right.
I'm telling you, everywhere you go to try to figure this out, it's not right.
Right.
So there was another kid named Alex Slowly, I hope I'm saying his name correctly, who went missing 10 months after Andrew. Now, I'm not going to go much into Alex's story, but there is a 3-part podcast about him. But just a little bit about this, because people think there could be a connection. So Alexander Slowly, whose name went by Alex, but also his street name was Goggs, like G-O-G-S. So he went missing, like I said, about 10 months after Andrew.
Wait, what's the podcast that has a 3-parter on it?
Where is Alex?
Oh.
Did I not say that?
I don't think you did.
Oh, I'm sorry. In my head, I said it. Yeah, it's called Where is Alex? Alex is a person of color, but he's a similar build. Like, he's also 5'5", and I think, like I said, Andrew was like, I think just 5'3". He may have been 5'5". He was last seen August the 2nd of 2008. So Alex had been going to a friend's house in Edmonton, which is North London. He left there around noon, and because this was also like right around his birthday, he was supposed to come home for like birthday shenanigans, and he never came home. And then his mom's birthday was just a few days later, and he didn't show up for his mom's birthday either. But when he disappeared, he did not have much money on him. He had no change of clothes, and he didn't have his passport with him. Now, Alex did have a phone, but it stopped having any connection. Like, it basically was turned off after his disappearance. And there has been no trace of him ever since. His mom's like, he's a person of color, and he's not getting any of the publicity that, like, Andrew got. Is there a chance there's a connection? Yes, because they are around the same age, both of the same stature. Because, you know, some people think, like, okay, were they kidnapped in some way? Like, did they just come across somebody and they kidnapped them for human trafficking? And if you look at their age and their body types, yeah, they both are the same size. And, you know, if, again, I don't know, I just keep going to they're about the same height and about the same age and all the things. And so if, I mean, as disgusting as it is, people want kind of prepubescent teenager, you know. Yeah. So that's a possibility. But I also wonder, back to the gaming console, like, I don't think you can play it without setting up an email.
I didn't think so either, but I guess you can.
I guess maybe he had an email address that they just never, he never did anything with, but everything said he didn't even have an email. So I just don't know. And maybe because it was a portable one, it was different.
Yeah,
because he didn't have to connect into the Wi-Fi because it was made to, you know, take with you places,
yeah.
You know, and so maybe that's what I don't understand. You know, it's more of like a Game Boy style versus like a actual, you know what I mean?
Right. How did he not have an email, though? Like, he okay, just, so in my head, it was 1993. So
yeah.
I was like, okay, like, whatevs. But
2007.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like even with school, people would like send things to emails, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and they did look at the school's computers in the library. So
yeah, I know. But like, you know, I just don't understand how he did not have an email.
Right. Right.
I know I get hung up on words. So it might have been like he didn't have a personal email, but he did.
Well, it just said he didn't have an email. Everything said he didn't even have an email.
But I don't know. That's just so weird. Like, and I know people who are like that, like that don't have a social media presence and all of that, but there's always like breadcrumbs
right,
of them.
Right. So in November of 2008, at the Leominster Police Department, picture it's late at night. So the police department is like closed, but people are there. Like, you can't just walk in and out. You have to like an apartment talking to an intercom. So there had been a feature on a BBC show called The One Show about Andrew. And after that aired, someone came to that police station, to the intercom, to say that they had information about Andrew. Well, it's like late at night, and by the time someone got to the door, that person was gone. But I'm like, there wasn't like a camera?
Right, yeah. There
it's 2008.
And it's the police department.
Yeah, like, can we not zoom in, figure out who he is? Like, I don't understand why that was such a dead end.
Right.
Somebody else had written a letter that said that Andrew had been sighted in Shrewsbury, probably. Anyway, but it was anonymous and they don't know who wrote it, but they're also like, we don't know if it was the guy or whomever came to the intercom. We don't know if it's the same person. But there's been sightings everywhere. Like, everywhere. People are like, yeah, I think I saw him here. I think I saw him in South Wales. I think I saw him here, you know?
Well, it'd be so hard, though, because he was 14.
Right.
And, like, you change so much.
So they did have some age progression photos of him. But, like, here's the thing with Andrew, too. Andrew was deaf in one ear, and he had really bad eyesight. Also, he had like a double ridge on his ear. So like where you would get your cartilage pierced, it was like bloop, bloop. Like he had like a, it's a very distinct thing that like you can't, I mean, unless you got your hair covering it, like you can't change that. So if you see him, you will know it's him based on his ear. So some people are like, he may not even have heard the lady say, do you want this return ticket? He may just have been like, I don't know what she's offering me, but no, I don't want that. You know,
yeah.
Because he was deaf in one ear. But he also had really bad vision. So the likelihood of Andrew, if he is alive, never having followed up anywhere with his vision is not going to happen because he had very, like a very strong prescription that he would have to get new glasses with.
Yeah.
So a company that specializes in like sonar and all in the water was like, let's look in the Thames. Let's see if he's there. And it's so eerie because on his dad's blog, there are pictures from that that shows like they found like a sunken car and stuff like that. They did find a body.
Oh, shit.
But it wasn't Andrew.
Yeah.
But his dad was like, well, I mean, at least we give one family closure.
Yeah. Gosh, that's so sad.
Okay. So picture it like the 10th anniversary of Andrew's missing. His parents got a tip online. And the person was like, look, I was talking to someone in a chat room and they were like, hey, can you help me make rent? Like, I need $200 to be able to make my rent. And the tipster was like, yeah, I'll help you out. Like, give me your stuff so I can transfer your money. And the person on the other end asking for the money was like, well, I don't have a bank account. So, like, you can't transfer it to me. And they were like, why the fuck don't you have a bank account? Like, it's 2017. Who the fuck doesn't have a bank account, you know? And they were like, well, I don't have one because I left home when I was 14. And the person's like, why the fuck you left home when you were 14? And they're like, I just felt like. But what makes this so interesting, because that could obviously just be someone trying to get money. But the person's screen name was Andy Roo. Now, like, Andy R-O-O. Well, the thing is that Andrew's nickname when he was a kid was Roo.
Oh, shit.
So it's like, that really could have been something.
Yeah.
Well, his parents reach out to the website people and they're like, cool, cool, we'll look into it. But we just changed our systems and lost a fuck ton of data. So
Oh my gosh.
We actually have zero information about that user.
What the fuck?
And so it's just like thing after thing. It's like, is this a lead? No, it's a dead end. Is someone coming to the police station to tell us information? No, they're gone. You know, do we have CCTV footage of him? Yes, but not really. Do we, yeah. You know, it's just like one thing after another.
The tipster, did he ever give the kid money or?
I don't know about that.
You know what I mean? Like, how did that go? Like, oh, you can't transfer it. Okay, so what? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I'm sure after that, they were probably like, bro, no. Like,
right.
I'm not, you know, thinking it was.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a con.
Oh, for sure. But then, like, what made them
reach out to them? And all that? I know. I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm just like, okay, so you, I would have just been like, hey, let me go out to the police and be like,
I know.
This might have been something. You know, you want to be safe and meet up with this person, then, you know, whatever. But, like, I don't know.
Well, really, the last thing that we have about Andrew was in December of 2021, two men were arrested for suspicion of kidnapping and human trafficking. Just how things work in the UK a little bit differently, I've learned through this, is like they arrest you on suspicion and then kind of get the case. Whereas here, it's like get the case, arrest you, and then you can either bond out or all of that.
Yeah.
But it seems like that's, so y'all in the UK, correct me if I'm wrong, because that's just, you know, how it was kind of explained on some podcasts. So they were like let go while they still did investigations. At first, police were thinking that these two men may have been linked to Andrew's disappearance with, again, through sex trafficking, but they have since been eliminated as suspects. Just to show you how Andrew's family is, in an article that was talking about them being arrested, the family was like, our heart breaks for them that, you know, people thought that they were a part of this and they had to live under that cloud of suspicion and like we wish them the best kind of thing. And it's like, goddamn, like it just says so much about them that they're like, gosh, our heart breaks for them that they were, you know, people thought that they did this.
Yeah.
But before Andrew had disappeared, he had, because like I said, he was very smart, very into science, and he had learned that if you plant an acorn, that it can become, or it has the potential to become like this huge tree.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes like years and years and years. And Andrew and his dad, Kevin, did plant some acorns, and a few of them started growing. And his dad keeps like replanting it and moving it and keeping this tree alive in hopes that, you know, one day Andrew will be able to see it. And the tree's like 6 feet tall now.
Oh my gosh. God, that breaks my heart.
But on his blog, he wrote that no matter how many years pass without him, those feelings never change and are often intensified by seemingly small things that would not have been a problem before he vanished. After all the searching, appealing, praying, and hoping, we all still miss him intensely every single day. It never seems to become easier. His dad has become like an ambassador for the Missing People UK and is just really trying to help other families. But to this day, we still have no idea what happened to Andrew Gosden.
Oh my gosh. That's so sad. But there's like nothing to go off of besides Pizza Hut.
Well, and again, it's like for everything you think of, there's another reason. It's like, why didn't he get the return ticket? Because that indicates that he had no plans of coming back.
Right.
But why
he took the money, but he didn't take his cash.
Right. And why didn't he take his charger if he was never coming back? But he also didn't take any clothes, any jackets, anything. Yeah, it's still summertime, but it's like September. It's about to start getting cool. So if he was going to disappear forever, like he didn't even take a change of underwear. Some people think that Andrew was gay and that he wasn't comfortable telling his parents, but his parents are like, no, we were fine. Like they didn't even force him to go to church. Like I feel like they would have been okay with whoever Andrew was. You know, I don't get that vibe from his parents that he would have been like disowned because he's gay. I just don't get that from them.
Right.
But you also never know what's happening behind closed doors.
Exactly.
But some people think maybe he went to London to die by suicide. Some people think that he went to London for who knows what reason and just met with foul play because he was a young kid in London by himself. You know, there's no telling what could have happened to him.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like why would he go to London to die by suicide? You know, what was that and why is his body not found?
Right.
You know, like if there was some kind of reason that he went to London, I feel like his parents would know or people would know like, okay, Slipknot says this in their song
right.
that he loves and it would be in this place or, you know what yeah. I mean? It's just such a random thing to do that.
And not to be like too gruesome with this, but if he was going to die by suicide, how would he have done it? Like, because like you said, there was no body, but like he didn't have a gun or something like that with him other than jumping off the bridge, but they scoured the Thames, you know, so it's like, how else would he have done it in a way that there would have been nobody? He would have not been found.
Yeah. I don't know. That's so freaking sad.
But I don't know. Like you said, like why that day? Because there clearly was a plan because he pretended to go to school. But he was irritable. Like, why was he irritable if he had this plan? You think he would be like up and at him, ready to go if he was like, I'm going to London. I'm going to watch, you know, 30 years to Mars or whatever it's called. You know, like, I'm doing all this. I'm so excited. You know, you think he would be pumped, not like, fuck, mom, I don't want to get up. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. This is just like mind boggling. Like how dumbfounded I am right now. I can only, like, imagine how his family feels.
I know. I can't remember what podcast I heard it on, but they said that, like, his dad said one time that he's almost envious of people who their family member has been murdered because at least they have a body and some sense of closure because it's, like, the not knowing is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Because now at this point, he's been missing more years than he was at home with his family.
I just don't think he's alive.
I feel like
he would have reached out at some point, some way to his parents.
Well, and I think this was a big enough story in the area that like his ear, you know, you can't hide that. You can't, you know, I mean, I guess you can with hair, but like I mean, someone in your close circle, if you did, let's say he was gay and he went to London because he didn't think he'd feel accepted. He found a community and he's been in that community this whole time. Like, I feel like somebody would have noticed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is right up there with, like, I mean, all of the missing things. It's just like, holy fuck. But this one, you really are like, there's nothing. There's nothing to go on.
Because again, every single thing that he did points you in a different direction. Because, like, okay, again, I know I keep harping on this, but he didn't get the train ticket, the return train ticket. But he didn't take his charger, which could be 14-year-old boy shitty packing. Like, he grabbed it because he was excited or nervous or anxious and just forgot it. You know, just grabbed his PlayStation and not the charger. But on the flip side, he didn't take a jacket. He did, you know, he's just in a t-shirt and pants. Like, he didn't fucking have underwear, deodorant, nothing.
Yeah.
Toothbrush, nothing. That's why I feel like maybe he went and was going to ride home with somebody. You know, like, if it was the concert thing or somebody he had met online that we just can't figure out how.
Because he was smart. That's the thing, too.
Because kids are going to hide stuff like that. Yes. Like, if they, because here's the thing. You know when something's not right. Like, you know when you're talking to somebody you shouldn't be talking to. You know when you're hiding things like that. You do it because you know you're going to A, get in trouble for it, or B, you know it's not right. If he was talking to an adult or someone that he wasn't supposed to, he's going to hide it.
Right.
But can he hide it enough that the police weren't able to figure it out?
I think so, but I just don't know how, because I'm not smart.
I just don't know why London, why that day, why aggravated, because, again, he clearly had a plan. So why was he aggravated and not excited?
Yeah. Also, I'm just thinking about the Game Boy, not the Game Boy, but, you know, the PlayStation Portable, whatevs. Didn't even know that even existed. But I'm just thinking, like, you know how people, like, hack things? And so it's like, okay, this is how nerdy I am. But remember when people had our, like, Texas Instruments calculators and, like, you could do, like, the little things and have it do the math for you and all the things? But people did that. Like, hell, I didn't know how to do it. I had other people who helped me do it, right?
Yeah.
But there's other ways where, you know, you get something that has some kind of internet but doesn't, you don't have to actually have a username because you hack into the back end. And you don't do, you know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like if he was technically, like, technology-based smart, you know what I mean? I know you said science and stuff, but, like, if he was techie like that, he could do that. And if it was in the, like, the gaming system itself, and it's gone with him, there's no way that they could, like, see what was on that device.
Right.
So, like, that could be the missing piece.
I thought that, too, actually. Because it does, I'm just trying to, like, while she was telling that, too, I was trying to look to see, like, can you connect to a network with it? And yes, you can.
I just do not believe he was not talking to someone. It doesn't have to be the person who he met with or whatever. But you reach out to someone. You have someone that you talk to. Especially playing the games and stuff.
Right. Like, well, because also, we never saw what kind of games does he play. Because if he plays, I mean, he's not just sitting there fucking playing Tetris. Like, he's playing a PlayStation. Like, those are interactive games where you, like, go play Fortnite or something with a crew of people. You know?
Right.
Like, this isn't fucking Super Mario. Like, it's yeah. different types of games. It's meant to be an interactive with other people games, yeah. you know?
Well, hell, now even, like, Mario's interactive.
I was just about to say that. Like, Mario Party and Mario Kart, you can connect. But, I mean, that's, we're still talking 2007, though.
But still, you know, I mean, so I just think it's something there that we don't know. But I don't know what it is. I just don't believe that he didn't have any way of communicating with someone.
Yeah. Well, we may never know. And that just breaks my heart for his family. Before we get into Donna's story, we got to talk about Miracle Maid. Y'all have heard us talk about Miracle Maid so many times, how much we love it, because, of course, who doesn't want to sleep wonderfully on temperature-regulating sheets?
And did I mention it's getting hot? And that's when temperature regulation comes in handy.
Because if you are too hot, me, or too cold, that will have a serious impact on your sleep. And if you're not sleeping good, that affects your waking hours. So the sleep is super important, specifically to me. I mean, I'm sure y'all too, but like, you know, I really love it.
She's kind of obsessed.
And what makes Miracle Made bedding so different is that it's inspired by NASA, because Miracle Made uses silver infused fabrics that make it temperature regulating so that you can sleep at the perfect temperature all night long.
Okay, so I like freaking love the Miracle Made sheets. I fell asleep on my couch and I woke up and I was stuck to my leather couch because I was so hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, like I did not mean to fall asleep here. Let me go back to my bed because there, and I wasn't sweaty at all.
Yeah.
Like, tell me how that is. We know how, because it's inspired by NASA.
And y'all know I am a walking furnace, and Colby sleeps so well next to me when we have these sheets because I'm not hotboxing him in the damn bed.
Also, did you know that traditional bed sheets can harbor more bacteria than the toilet seat?
That's freaking disgusting. Well, Miracle Made sheets are self-cleaning. Because they're infused with silver, that prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth that leave them staying cleaner and fresh 3 times longer than other sheets. So they aren't stinky, they aren't giving you acne, they're not sweaty, they are just luxuriously soft and cozy. And you're getting that luxurious soft and cozy without the luxurious price. So right now, go to trymiracle.com/creep to try your Miracle Made sheets today.
And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use the promo code CREEP at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%.
That's savings on top of savings on top of savings. And Miracle is so confident in their product that it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you're going to get a full refund. So upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/creep and use the code CREEP to claim your 3-piece towel set and save over 40%.
So one more time, that is trymiracle.com/creep. Treat yourself and sleep like a dream. So thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode. Okay, y'all, I'm going to also be talking about a young person, but this is a female, and her name is Shanti Devi. She was born December 11th, 1926 in Delhi, India. Shanti was a healthy baby girl, but as she grew older, she never really spoke, to the point that her parents thought she might not be able to and be mute. But around the age of 4, Shanti started talking, and she acted like she had been talking all her life. It was shocking, but what was more shocking is what she said. Shanti started saying that this wasn't her real life. Everything was wrong, and she wanted to go back to her other life, her real family, her real home. She said that she had a husband, and she also had children. And Shanti's parents were like, yeah, okay, kid. You know, just thought it was her vivid imagination. But Shanti didn't stop talking about it. And she didn't say exact names at first, but she talked about various parts of her life. But the detail, like the level of detail, was so much that it just shocked her parents. They thought she would grow out of it, but she just kept talking more and more and more.
Is that how your parents felt too? They thought she'd grow out of it. She just kept talking and talking and talking and never shut up.
Yes. There is this picture, and I wish I could find it, but it's of me sitting on my mom's lap, and you could tell I am telling a story, and my mom's just like looking at the camera, you know, but it is like, you know, she's like, just shut her up. Just stop.
I was the same way as a kid. I was a talker too.
Well, Shanti finally said a name. And she said her name was Lugdi Devi. So who was Lugdi Devi? Turns out she was real. She was born January 18th, 1902. Now, when she was 10 years old, she was married to Kadar Nath.
I'm sorry, 10 years old?
Yeah. So, I don't really know all the, like, it was in 1902, so I don't know all the traditions around that, but it just seemed like that's what happened. He was a shop owner in Mathura, and Lugdi was very religious, had been on several pilgrimages, and they really had a good life together, but it wasn't without loss. The first time Lugdi was pregnant, the baby was stillborn.
Because she was so young.
Yeah.
Your body's not made for that when you're that young.
They were heartbroken because they weren't able to have the family they wanted. However, they were able to welcome a baby boy on September 25th, 1925. So this, again, was some time after that. So you're right. It probably was due to her age. Now, this was done by a C-section. And unfortunately, Lugdi's body was very weakened after she gave birth. And 9 days later, she passed away. So was she reincarnated as Shanti Devi? So that's what we're going to talk about. And I want to see what you think. So like I just glossed over the deets at first, but now we're going to get into like the meat and potatoes. God, I am so weird. I'm like, with cheese. Why did I say that?
What? Cheese on what? The meat or the taters?
The potatoes.
What kind of potatoes?
I was just thinking my mama used to have this black skillet.
Cast iron skillet.
And she would just like put the potatoes in there and like fry them that way. No oil, just like the potatoes. And then on our part, she would put the Kraft cheese, like the block cheese she would cut up.
Mm-hmm.
My dad didn't like cheese, so he,
on the other side. Of course he didn't.
Uh-huh. But me and her would have it, and she would just, like, put the top on it and let it steam. And, yeah. Oh, it was so good.
Wow, we're fat.
My dad called it prison food because it was literally just, like, potatoes.
Yeah, well, he could have cooked.
But he did cook, though. Him and my mama were like you and Colby. Both of them can cook good, and both of them didn't want to cook.
Oh, God, I hate it.
Yeah. What would you have the cheese on, though? Neither?
I probably wouldn't have had the potatoes. I'm a pasta girl. I'm not a potato girl.
Oh, I'm a carbs girl, but pasta, yes. But potatoes, any way you make them. I don't know one way a potato, besides a sweet potato. I'm not a big sweet potato fan. But like regular white potatoes, even better, those little red potatoes.
Okay, we need to move on, ma'am.
Okay, sorry.
Donna's on like a whole tangent by herself about potatoes. Like freaking Pavlov's dog over here. She's salivating.
I did picture him in my head. Okay. So as I said, Shanti didn't speak till she was around 4. But when she did start speaking, it wasn't what you would think. Like someone who had not spoken for 4 years, it wasn't just one or two words at a time. It was full sentences, and she spoke with purpose. Like I mentioned, at first, her parents just shrugged it off, but Shanti wouldn't stop going on and on about it. She would talk about her husband in more detail than just an imaginary friend. She told her parents about him being fair-skinned and that he had a big spot on his left cheek, and sometimes he wore glasses, but it was mainly just reading glasses. And it wasn't always constant. But, you know, little things would trigger memories of her former life. Much like me a minute ago with the potatoes.
But did she draw on and on and on?
She probably did. But she was eating dinner sometimes, and she would talk about how she loved the sweets that they kept at their house, how much she loved the food when she was Lugdi.
Specifically potatoes.
Yes, she said, those potatoes, though. Or even if there was a meal that her mom would cook that she really, really liked, she would say, like, this reminds me of home. Like, it would always just stir up memories. There was this time that Shanti was getting fitted for a dress, and she talked about how it was nothing, you know, compared to what she used to wear. Just all these things that she was accustomed to. But she said that her husband was a shop owner, and he, like, dealt in the cloth and all of that. She also said the merchant had lied to her mom about the fabric because she was like, it's not the right quality or feel. And they were like, how do you know this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she again said that her husband owned a fabric store which we know is true from the real Lugdi. Shanti talked about how she would pray daily to Krishna, who is a major deity, and turns out that Mathura is the birthplace of Krishna. That's not who Shanti's parents like would worship and all of that. So it's not like, oh yeah, okay, it's their major god, but like it is in Mathura. Shit that a little kid wouldn't really know.
Right.
And Mathura is where Lugdi lived. And also Shanti called it Mathura. That's what the locals would call Mathura. And before you think it's like this local town that she might have heard in passing or anything, it's over 100 miles away. It's like a 3-hour train ride. And she's 4, 5, at most at 6 at the time that she's saying these things. So once she was outside playing and she had really gotten homesick for Mathura, and she packed up a little bag and started walking there. So she was like little Donna in my New Kids on the Block sleep shirt walking down the street. But luckily her mother found her before she had gotten too far. But she was like, y'all don't believe me, but I want to go home. And if y'all won't take me, I will go myself. Later on, Shanti also opened up more about giving birth to 2 babies. And she went on to say how they were both delivered by C-section. And she went into detail about the operation, how it felt, how it was done, you know, what happened. And then she revealed that that's how she died after she gave birth, which we know is true about the real Lugdi. Shanti kept talking about her past life for a few years. And finally, when she started school, Shanti ended up telling her classmates about her other life. Now, you see, the family had kept it under wraps because this wasn't something common and they really didn't want any unwanted attention on Shanti. Also, it could be a bad omen that if you remember your past life in reincarnation, like her parents and everyone believed in reincarnation, but it's like you're born again, but you don't remember your past life. You're into your new life and you're only learning the lessons from this new life. But Shanti was also like me, and she was an open book and shared all the deets, even if no one was really asking for them. Apparently, I really see myself in Shanti.
But here's my question. Okay, how do you know that, like, how can they believe in reincarnation, but then be like, it's bad to remember it? Because then how, if you're not supposed to remember it, then how do you know it exists?
Well, you just believe it, but...
Well, who came up with that? Who was like, oh, I'm a different person. I was before. If they're like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, where did it start is my point.
You know what? It started on whatever episode I did reincarnation, but I can't remember the like.
But you
foundation.
Get what I'm saying, though. Yeah. Like, how can you be like, you're not supposed to remember this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I feel like that's with a lot of religion.
Oh, yeah. It's you got to have faith, but like you can't.
Right. Yeah, but it's like, no, you can't really pinpoint it to like an actual start of something, I guess.
Well, that's not what I'm asking. I'm not asking like it started in 19. I'm not asking like specifically, but I'm saying like, how did you come up with this concept if...
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, we don't know how someone said like, oh, I remember it from this thing, but I don't know. But if you think about reincarnation, your soul, you shouldn't remember your past life because you're learning these new trials and tribulations or, you know, like heaven.
But like, why couldn't you do that to take your knowledge from one to the next? Like, isn't that the point that you're supposed to grow and learn?
But if you already knew something, you would take it and use that and not go through the trials or whatever in this next life that you need to.
But you get what I'm saying, though? Like, isn't that the point, though, to continually grow and learn? I hear what you're saying and I get your point. But I'm like, the whole point of this is to continue to go to become this elite being, like self-actualization mm-hmm. of a being. But then like, shouldn't you take that wisdom with you?
But that's just tainted you. That's like if you knew you were going to die in a week, you would act differently.
No, I get what you're saying, but conceptually, it makes no fucking sense.
Well, Shanti's classmates were kind of like you. And they did not believe her. And this kind of made her a target for constant bullying because she didn't waver from her truth. So in turn, her headmaster and a teacher were like, okay, we're going to prove to her that she's wrong and put a stop to this, or prove that she's right and put a stop to this. They went to Shanti's house and they talked to her and, you know, just got her to give them like all the details that she could. And she told them everything she had been saying before. And they were kind of taken aback at just how sincere she was. And she finally gave her husband's name and the address of where they had lived. Now, it was customary at that time that the wives did not call their husband by name. And so that's why she had never said it before. She would always call herself like the wife of, and then like a last name, but never his first name, never, you know, anything like that. But the headmaster was like, if you tell us, we're going to take you to Mathura. So like, you have to tell us though, like we have to know this. And so, I mean, she wants to go to Mathura. So of course she's going to tell them. And so she whispered the name and it was Kedar Nath Chobi, which we know is true. So instead of just taking her there, they wrote to Kedar first just to see if any of this is true, because they found this man who had the exact name that she spoke, and he was a business owner at a fabric store, like at this clothing stuff. He was a well-known businessman. And so they're like, let's just write and see. And this guy's going to be like, who the fuck are you? You know, what are you talking about? That was like if they got an answer. They really didn't expect an answer. They were just kind of putting it out there. But they received a response and it verified the details. So Kedar was like, okay, before I meet this girl, because this is fucking weird as fuck, I want to test her. So he sent his cousin Kanji to meet her instead, just to see if she would know the difference, you know? And immediately she did. She hugged him and, you know, I think at first her parents were like, hey, got her. But she immediately asked him details that she remembered of him before, like if he was ever married because he hadn't been married yet, if he had bought his own house because he had been looking. And he was older than Kedar, so it was like, when you gonna get all these things, you know? So she knew that. And Kanji was so surprised. And you just have to imagine this 8-year-old stranger talking to him like they were best friends or, well, family. So he was convinced. He wrote Kedar and was like, yep, come see her. So Kedar made the trip to meet Shanti. He brought his new wife with him and the child that he had with Lugdi. Now, Kedar had one more test up his sleeve. So he pretended to be his brother when he went inside. But Shanti was like, boy, bye, you are Kedar. Like, you're my boo. She set her sights on Navneet, her son. And he was like 10 at this time. And she threw her arms around him and cried, like wailed. And everyone was just so stunned. And she said that even though she had never met him other than right after birth, she knew he was her son because her soul recognized his. Soon, she went into wife mode, like host mode, but, you know, she's a kid. So she asked her mom to prepare some food for their guest. And her mom was like, okay, so what should I make? And Shanti looked at Kedar and said, potato paratas and pumpkin squash. I'm so sorry. I'm probably butchering all these words.
I'll tell you what word you didn't butcher.
Potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But Kedar was floored because that was his favorite. And again, how would anyone know this that didn't know him? So after dinner, Kedar and Shanti spoke in private so he could verify if this was real or not. Like, he just wanted to have a conversation with her. And when it was over, Kedar was completely flabbergasted and stated that Shanti was Lugdi. She spoke like her. She recounted details only Lugdi would know. When they were alone, Shanti asked Kedar why he remarried, because he promised her he would never remarry. That was a promise they had made to each other. And also, it gets a little weird, but like, to prove that she was Lugdi, she said that she remembered how they had to have sex because at the time, of when they were not the very first time, but the second time that they conceived, she had really bad arthritis and could only get into certain positions. And she also said that she knew he had cheated on her because she had seen him stealing glances with this woman and whatnot. And he was like, holy fuck, this is true. Like, all of it. And how would she know about the positions and stuff? And also, if you think about it, they're very traditional. And so if they had to use, like, you know, different positions, it would have probably been a big deal to them. And that would have been a secret that they kept.
And to be frank, though, she's like the same age that she was when they got married. So while it's weird, this adult man like talking to her about sex, for them, it's not, because this is how old she was when he fucking married her.
Right. So true. So after they spent some time together getting confirmation that Shanti wasn't making this up, Kedar and his family returned to Mathura, and Shanti pleaded with them to take her. You know, just pleaded with her family to let her go visit her home. She just wanted to visit. She just wanted to see it again. But they didn't want to go. And by now, this had gained a lot of attention. You know, they had tried to keep it under wraps, and now it was W.O. in the wide open.
Do other people know that W.O. means wide open, or is that something that you just say?
My mama said it.
I know, but is that like a thing that...
I have no idea.
I don't think people know that.
She would say it about the cats and stuff because they would be licking themselves wide open. Well, the word had got to Mahatma Gandhi, and he was like, okay, we're going to see if this is true or not. He got a committee of inquiry to investigate. Like, that was the name of it. It was 15 members who were journalists, academics, a brain trust, basically. So in November 1935, the committee, Gandhi, along with Shanti and her parents, took the train to Mathura.
Isn't Gandhi pretty fucking problematic with, like, young women and stuff?
I think so.
Okay, just checking.
I think so. They were going to see if she could really find the house that she always talked about. It was a 3-hour train ride to Mathura, like I said. But instantly, when she was on the train platform, like when she got there, there was an older man who was looking at her, and the committee asked her if she knew who he was. And she paused for a second, like looking the man up and down, and then she knelt down and touched the older man's feet as a sign of respect. She then whispered that it was her brother-in-law, and it was, in fact, Kedar's older brother. So everyone was already stunned because they did that real fast just to, like, not let her have any time to try to gain any information. But now the real test. Could Shanti take them to her old home? So they got in a tonga, and they put her in the front seat, and they informed the driver to only drive where she gave directions to. They made sure that no one led her anywhere. No one, you know, was being able to tell her any directions. And Shanti shocked them by effortlessly giving directions. And along the route, Shanti would comment on things that had changed since she lived there. This road is paved now. This is done. You know, there used to be a building here, you know, how we do on everything. And the driver was astounded and confirmed that everything she was saying was true. So when they got to the house, they kind of looked at it because she had always said that it was yellow, but the house was white. However, the people said they had painted the house white. It had been yellow. And like you could see it in some of, you know, because if they were any painters like me, you could see some of it coming through and all. And Shanti said that she had a surprise for them and ran upstairs to a corner of a room saying that she had a box under the floorboard that had some money in it. Like she had saved it. She had put it in there just like for safekeeping. And, you know, it was like her little hidey hole. However, when they looked, it wasn't there. But
somebody stole that girl's money.
But there was like where you like, oh, that's a good little hidey hole.
That's what Colby calls my hoo-hoo.
Things we didn't need to know.
But you're glad you do.
But Kedar then admitted that he had found the money after Lugdi's passing. And like Lugdi had well, Shanti at this point, had whispered how much it was, and Kedar confirmed it. Like, she whispered it to Gandhi, and Kedar said how much it was, and it matched.
I'm surprised that she knew how much it was, though, because if you are just, like, stuffing money into something like that, I wouldn't know how much it was. You know, I'm like, oh, a dollar here, a dollar there, and not have any clue how much it actually is.
Yeah, I think she probably, she might be more meticulous than us.
Everyone in life is more meticulous than us, so probably.
So they also tested Shanti by asking her what certain words meant. Kind of like how you said W-O, and it's like, is that only what my family says? I don't know. Or how we said, like, the, did that have a bone in it?
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, what? But she knew them instantly. And these words were only the words that this family used. It was like their inside jokes, basically. And it was a term for the bathroom and some food. But again, no one would have known this had they not been close to the family or actual family. So while all this is cool, you know, it's exciting. One of the committee members were like, okay, but what about that well that you always talked about in the yard? Because she said, like, she would bathe in it sometimes and, you know, she would always talk about it. And Shanti was like, yeah, it's over here. But when she got to the location of it, she was confused because it wasn't there. So they were like, aha, finally got her, you know? But she was like, no, it is here, or it was here, like right here. And Kedar removed a big stone that was at that spot, and there was a well underneath it. Now, they also took Shanti to a group of about 50 people, and she was able to recognize her parents, well, Lugdi's parents, and not a dry eye was in the place when they all embraced. Every test they gave her, Shanti passed with flying colors. Now, later on in life, she was able to recall her death and her afterlife a little bit. She said she felt dizzy when she was about to die, and then everything around her was darker than dark. She said that then, all of a sudden, there was a bright flash of white light, and there were some men who seemingly put her or her essence in a cup and carried her. And that's when she saw Krishna, and he was showing people every record of their deeds in life, good and bad, and then telling them what would happen to them in their next life. The next thing she remembers is going up this golden staircase. And she said that she could see a river that was different than any other river she had ever seen, and that she could see the souls in the water, and they appeared like flames in a lamp, just like that glistening underneath the water. Shanti never wavered from her story or any details. So after they went to Mathura, after she passed the test and she got to see her family again, see her house, she was like, okay, I'm ready to go home and live my new life. It's like she had finally gotten that closure that she had wanted, and she was ready to take on this new life. And her case is very significant because it was heavily investigated. And even one of the critics that she had met, like, because he wanted to expose her as a fraud and all of that, like, after he met her, he believed her to be, like, he came away and was like, no, this was all true, and she's the real deal. And he actually ended up writing, like, her autobiography. Now, Shanti didn't live her life in the spotlight, though. She was never married, which I kind of thought she was, like, holding true to Lugdi's words to Kedar that they would never remarry, you know,
well,
after that.
He didn't.
Right.
That bitch said, why are you remarried?
That would so be me.
We had a pact, motherfucker.
It'd be like, ha, 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 nice. We get along. Now, why the fuck are you remarried?
Yes.
Who the fuck is that bitch? But Shanti wasn't like us. And
which is why she was able to be reincarnated. They'd be like, just, you're staying in your cup.
So she lived a spiritual life until she passed away in 1987, and she was 61 years old.
I don't know.
Now, you believe in past lives and stuff.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't not believe her.
Some people say, like, the thing about this is it was heavily investigated, but it was after Kedar and her met at their house, like, or at her house.
Yeah.
And they don't know, like, how much like, no one can tell you exactly what she said before that besides her family and stuff.
Right.
So was it kind of fed into that? Other people said that maybe she just heard it on the street, like she had heard about something, and, you know, kids retain stuff.
Yeah, not that much.
I'm like, that's a lot. Like, he must have been getting his hair cut at a barbershop and she was sitting outside of it every fucking week learning about that.
Right. But I just think it's weird it lasted so long. Like, most of the time when you hear stories about kids who remember their past, like, by the age of 4, they have forgotten all of that.
Yeah, but that's interesting that she didn't speak at all until age 4. Maybe that's why, I don't know, it's like she wasn't fully there until then. And then it was like, she couldn't move on until she had
closure.
Like, yeah.
Can you imagine being that 10-year-old kid, though, that's like, she's my mom?
Right.
What?
Yeah.
I still can't get over the fact that she was 10. Like, literally, her son was the same age as she was when she got married.
Yeah.
But would her son get married? Nope.
Right.
They would never expect that 10-year-old boy to get married like they expected her to as a 10-year-old.
I know.
Her poor parents, too, because she's just like, for 8 years of her life, just trying to get the fuck away from them.
I know. Gosh.
And then do you say, like, okay, let's just go? Or, well, one, do you have the means to do that? I mean, it's not just that easy. But also, are they, like, playing into it when they need to be guiding her away from it, you know?
Yeah.
Kids are fucking hard, man.
They are.
It's like, I believe her, but then also my logical side is like, there's no fucking way. But then also, there's no fucking way she would know all that stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. This is just like your case of, I don't know. Because every time I think, no, that's not logical, it's like, okay, but the human body's not logical. Our minds are not logical. How you said, like, we can't see faces if we look, like, off weird. You know what I mean? But, like, if we look straight at them, we can, it's perfect. And, like, it doesn't make sense. You know? Like, what is it, our spleen that doesn't do anything?
The appendix, ma'am.
Okay.
Don't cut your spleen out. I know. I wonder what the appendix used to do. Well, and even like your palmaris longus in your hand. Look, you see this?
That's what I like to call his.
Look, okay, make a fist, hold it tight, and then bend your wrist. Do you see a little tendon pop out?
Yeah.
Okay, not everybody has that. And you could have it in one arm and not the other. I have it in both sides. You don't need it. A whole lot of people don't have it.
I have one's a little, I don't know, but this one's there.
Yeah, but not everybody has it. This is called a palmaris longus. So they can, like, take it out and use it for transfer, like, tendon transfers and all of that. They can use it for a lot of stuff.
Don't take that out of me!
Well, if you need it to bend your finger, take it out of you. But you see what I'm saying, though? Like, that's one of those things of, like, why is that evolving away?
Yeah.
We still have an appendix that literally does nothing. At least that helps a little bit, but, like, you don't need it. Like, why do some people, like, what part of it, like, why is that going away?
Yeah. I don't know. So that's why I'm, like, there's so many things just that we're learning about our minds and our mental health and the capability. So I don't know. I'm just like that.
Okay. Let's just say that the story is completely true. I wonder if it's because she died so young.
Maybe.
That like she's able to remember it all. Because she came back really fast too. I feel like usually when people are like, yeah, I'm reincarnated, I was born 100 years ago.
Right.
Like, her son's 10. Like, maybe it's just because her soul is so, quote, young.
Yeah.
In that she hasn't been waiting up in the never-never land for 150 years to find another body.
Right.
Maybe that's why.
Just like in the I Survives that we cover on Patreon, it's like, how did they survive that? Or how did they do that?
Oh, yeah. You'll tell a story where they got shot 6 times. And how many... Look, every single episode for probably the first... 20 that you did of the I Survives, I would say, and Selena got shot one time in her fucking shoulder. And you covered one time where somebody got shot in the head like 4 times.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how in the fuck?
Right. And it's like that you can't believe it, you know, but then.
That's also very different than like your soul coming back. But I get your point.
Yeah. Thank you.
I didn't say it was a good point, but I said I got it.
Touché. Okay.
Look, this story was a head scratcher. Y'all let us know what y'all think, because this is a lot. These stories were a lot of thinking.
Yeah, why did we both, like, again, we never tell each other what we're doing, And they're both kids. It's both like, what the fuck happened?
My heart just breaks for Andrew's family. I just wish they could get some sort of answers. Like, if it is the worst case scenario and he's gone, like, just give them something.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you, universe. Thank y'all for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, review, all the things. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.